through the rest of this year, to the end of this year, and trust him. See, the reason why God said to rise up in January of 2017 is because he said, you got to rise up so you can see. I haven't shared this with you at all summer long. All winter, all spring, summer, fall, I haven't shared this with you. But this is the word right here for you for 2017 going into 2018. That the reason why God called us to rise up is so that we can be high enough to see. You thought everything was going to happen here in this year, but that's what rise up is, a action word to get you to where you're supposed to be. It said, rise up because you can't see where I want to take you. I've got something for you so big, but where you're at, you cannot see. And so I want to take you there. And as you rise up, you're finally going to see over the fence that you have not been able to see all of your life. And when you look at it, you're going to understand why you've been through what you've been through. I said, you're going to understand why you had to go through what you went through when you see what is on the other side. Oh, somebody's got to give the Lord a shout. If that bears witness with your soul, I want you to give the Lord a shout. God called us to rise up. We got a couple of weeks left of this theme of rise up. And you don't even know what God has for you. Now, if you have not risen up yet and you're sitting here saying, I don't know, I don't know what you're talking about, then I'm gonna shout it one more time. 2017 is the year to rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Get out of that place you're in and rise up so you can see exactly what God has for you in 2018. Oh, if you can just get a glimpse, you see the spies. I wish I get some music help in here. That's what I wish I had. I wish I had somebody with me to back me up a little bit. That'd be nice, huh? But if you can see what the... You can sit down if you want to. You can stay standing up. It's up to you. But if you could see... If you could just see what the spies saw. God picked 12 men. Used Moses. And he said, you get over into that promised land and take a peek. I want you to get a glimpse. Go take a glimpse. Everybody say glimpse. Everybody say a peek. I want you to go take a peek at what I have for you. And when you do, I want you to come back and let me know what you see. See, that's what some early rising in the morning and getting before God and saying, God, I don't want next year to be like this year. If you could just get a glimpse, see, the 12 spies walked into the promised land with a little bit of reservation, a little bit of fear, a little bit of concern, but nonetheless, they all walked into the promised land and they all saw the same thing. What did they see? They saw blessings of God. What did they see? They saw the future. They saw where their home was going to be. They saw their mountain. They saw their crop. They saw where their kids were going to grow up and where their grandkids were going to grow up. They saw where one day the Messiah would come and show up. They saw where one day the Messiah, the Christ, would die and for our sins. That's what they saw. They all saw that, but then in the peak, when they begin to peek over the fence, when they begin to look, they saw something else. And they all saw it too. They saw giants. They saw some big things that were obstacles to their future. They saw some things that were not supposed to be there. But they saw them. There were giants. They saw the giants and immediately fear began to grip their hearts. Before you know it, all of a sudden they begin to talk amongst themselves and say, everything we saw was good, but... And so they went home. They scurried out of there. They get back to Moses. Moses, sit down, have something to eat. Tell me what's up. Tell me what you got. The Bible says they brought some fruit back. They brought some grapes back. Those grapes were bigger than cantaloupes. They were grapes. They weren't cantaloupes. They were grapes, but they were big. They brought them back and they laid them out before Moses, and Moses saw a glimpse, but through what they brought, he said, look at what they got. Oh my God, look what they got. Oh, tell me about it. He got so excited when he saw the fruit. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, come the 10 spies. Before you know it, those 10 spies begin to look at him and say, hey, Moses, yeah, there's a bunch of that there, but there's giants in the land. There's giants in the land, Moses. We can't take the land. They begin to bring a discouraging and totally negative report saying, there is, if we go there, we'll be killed, we'll be annihilated. We will not make it. And as they were talking, and all 10 of them trying to talk over each other, all of a sudden I can just picture a guy like Derwin. Stupid man, shut up. Not in the flesh. All of a sudden, Joshua and Caleb rose up. And the Bible says they quieted them. But you know what the word Hebrew in quiet, the word quiet in Hebrew means, right? In Spanish, it's, in English, it says, shut up. Stop right now. Shut your trap. Whatever you want, whatever way you say it, they said, cállate la boca. Cut it out. So sit down and shut up. Don't say another word out of your mouth or I'm going to slap. Remember, Joshua and Caleb were soldiers. They were strong. So they didn't say, excuse me, fellas, do you think we can kind of back off on the negativity? No. They said, shut your mouth right now and sit down, boy. In that very moment, they shut up. And they begin to talk. And they begin to say, hey, Moses, yeah, we saw giants. But we don't care about those giants. In fact, he said, did you see the fruit we brought? You ought to see how green it is there. Where it is at. You ought to see all the land. Moses, I got a glimpse of where my kids are going to grow up at. I got a glimpse of where I'm going to be blessed in my life. We're going to be so blessed. And oh, yeah. There's some giants in the land, but they're so big we can't miss them. They're so big that whatever we throw their way, we're going to hit them. And then we're going to jump them like we used to. You remember some of you? Some shorties? Some of you shorties, man, everybody be up. And then you say, you know what, a bunch of us going to, then you take them down. And they say, we'll jump those giants. And we'll take them down. We'll wipe them out. Because you know why? They're homesteading on our land. They're trespassing on our land. They don't belong there. Somehow somebody gave them a ticket to get there, but that ticket is invalid. Somehow, some way, the devil devised a plan to come and try to put some roots and some stakes in the ground we live in. So, let's go take them right now. Those other 10 spies, you never read any more books about them. You don't even hear about them. I know their names because I've studied their names. But their name, the notoriety of their name ended right there. It ended when their faith diminished. It ended when they decided that they were going to look at the circumstance and succumb to that rather than have faith and believe in what God said belonged to them. Some of you here this morning, you were believing good all year long, and all of a sudden the devil tried to bamboozle you and try to shift your thinking. And in that shift of thinking, you have not lost your faith, but your faith is so small that you have to depend on us to cheerlead you. You can't praise God on the way to work. You can't praise God in your own home. You have to wait to get up in the Sunday to praise God. And God said, I'm going to change everything for you if you will just give me the praise. See, Joshua and Caleb came from the promised land with a big old stick and a bunch of grapes, carrying them all the way in, saying, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. I said, I got a feeling. Yeah. Marching. And there come the 10 little spies behind them. Can't even march. They're skipping. Baby skipping. And there's the two, there's Joshua and Caleb walking like they own the joint. The 10 spies behind them. Dragging their blanket. You can sit down if you want. I know you're tired. I know you're tired, right? You don't have to, but you can if you want. See, all day Sunday. Everybody, somebody shout out all day Sunday. That's how we do it, right? So let me just... The message I had prepared for you, all nice and dialogued and pointed out and all that, I'll preach that to you next Sunday. It's a Christmas message. You're coming back next Sunday, right? All right. Let me just, I got to take this home. Listen to me. What is in 2000, I'm not going to give you the theme of 2018 yet, but I want you to get a glimpse today. I want you just to look over the wall a little bit so you can get some hope back in your house. You get some hope back in your heart. You can build your faith again one more time. Listen, those spies, when they walked up to, see, they were doing this until they got up close to Moses, and then they put the fake on. Oh, Moses. You see, that's religion. Religion will put the fake on instead of the faith on. Religion, when you're religious, you can fake it till you make it. But when you're full of the power of God, you have faith enough to make it. See, while they were talking to Moses, Joshua and Caleb are washing the grapes. How many love grapes? Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I heard it from one of them crazy preachers named T.D. Jakes, I think. Said, grasshoppers don't eat grapes. Because they said, Moses, we look like grasshoppers in their sights. Grasshopper. Could they find something bigger, better than a grasshopper? No, because that's the way they saw themselves. Some of you might see yourself like a grasshopper, but I got some news for you here this morning. You're not no grasshopper. And you don't be a church hopper either. See, they weren't grasshoppers. They were men of God. They were from the lineage of the tribes of Israel. They had a name. They traded their name in. They traded their name in for their circumstance. You see, those two spies set the bar. Those two spies, Joshua and Caleb. For when the Bible says when Moses went home to be with the Lord, and the Lord appeared to Joshua, and he said, Joshua, son of Nun, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead, and the straw has come to you. You've been picked, you've been chosen, And you better not forget what God did. Remember when you walked in? The Lord said, you remember? He didn't say it in Joshua chapter 1, but he alludes to it later on. He says, remember what happened when you walked in the promised land? He goes, remember that faith, that strength, that courage, everything? He says, thus saith the Lord. He says, be of good courage. He said, be of, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. What did he say? What did he say? You know what he said? He said, you've been called, you've been chosen to lead. Now go lead and don't be afraid. The reason he had to remind them is because he wanted to take them, he wanted to take him back. You know Caleb was standing right there someplace. In fact, not long after that, when they began to defeat the enemy, Caleb finally got up there and said, okay, I'm 85 years old now. I've been through the desert and back. I've crossed the Jordan River. I'm on this side. I remember way back when I just took a peek, when I took a glimpse. Now I'm standing on it. He says, I'm 85. I'm old, but I can fight with the best of them. He said, just give me my mountain. He said, I'm ready. I'm just as strong now as that day. You see, God will always show you where you've been at, because on that day he remembered when him and Joshua walked into the promised land for the very first time and took a glimpse of what was coming to them. Some of you got a glimpse a while back and you got scared. Lleno de miedo. Full of fear, afraid, because you don't think you can do it. But the problem with that kind of thinking is that you ain't going to do nothing. It's going to be him that does something, not you. You're afraid because you think you've got to do it, but his anointing. His anointing will do it. So he reminds Joshua, just like you, when you went into the promised land, when you stepped out in faith and stepped across and went in. Now, have you ever wondered that when they went to the promised land, the waters dried up. But when they went the first time, the waters were flowing. That means sometimes you just got to swim across your problems. Sometimes you just got to wade across your problems. And if you're smart, you'll take an inner tube and just sit there and enjoy the sun until you get to the other. I don't know if anybody's hearing me today. I don't know what's come over me this morning, but I want you to know that God said this morning, you need to take one more glimpse. Listen, you're here now. Listen, we got here by faith. I was reminded what drove us here to the promised land. I was reminded the many times where we felt like we were going to die in the desert, when we were at Rio Grande High School, when we were at the Westside Community Center, when we were up on Charleston, when we were down on land down the street. We thought we were going to die. But I want you to know, all of a sudden, some of you don't know because you don't know the story, but for 10 years we floated around the desert from mountain to mountain, not one of them belonging to us. We were in a desert that did not belong to us. What belonged to us was on the other side of Zuni, and that's the physical, what you can see. But what you don't see, some of you, is the spiritual promise that God has. And that is to be revealed on a daily basis. See, I want to share with you just real quick. Look at it. When God is going about to take you into a new season, he always, always shows you the season of victory first. He'll always take you back and say, remember when you came in the way you thought, that's my land. Those giants ain't about nada. Those giants, man, are going to fall. And you're going to remember When people try to discourage you and say, oh, no, we can't do it. There's no way we're going to do it. There's no way we can do it. You're going to remember that. See, that's what Joshua and Caleb, when he stood there in Joshua chapter 1, and he stood there before the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him. He says, it's your time now. Your time to rise up and move into the promised land. Go on and prepare the leaders. Prepare the armies of the Lord. I want you to shout, for the Lord has given you the city. I'm going to put you on this side of the Jordan River, and that Jordan River is going to be flowing pretty heavy, and people are going to fear until you speak. Until you speak out of your mouth. Some of you have been in fear, and today, as I'm speaking, fear is leaving you. Listen, your faith is returning to you. You're believing again. Why? All because a little Savior in a cradle that you cannot... Listen, that Savior in a cradle can never, ever, ever be mistaken without having to go to the cross. He had to go to the cross. So if you look at the cradle, you got to look at the cross. All because of that. See, Joshua, he prepares the leaders. He gets up to the edge of the water. And right at the edge of the waters are flowing about almost close to a mile. And it's running fast. The undercurrent is crazy. It's looking like there's no way they're going to get across it. And the moment the priest stepped foot into the water. See, if you don't step into the water a little bit, the water's not going to stop. That circumstance, you got to put your foot in it. You got to put your foot of faith into the running water just for a minute and watch God stop the water. They put their foot in it and the Bible says the water stopped. But, Mr. Williams back there. I said, we're getting invaded by the Williamses, all of them. She's Williams. He's Williams. He's Williams. You're Williams. Is there any other Williams here? You guys like multiplying the Williams anointing. I want to multiply in the Sanchez anointing. You pray for my family, because I've looked over and I see the Sanchez clan. Woo! I see him, Mama. I see him, Barb. I see him. I see him. So we don't miss praying for our family every single day. But oh, think about it. The water stopped. See, everybody looks at that scripture. They think the water stopped right there when they put their feet on there. But what people don't understand sometimes is that God didn't stop the waters there. He stopped the waters upstream, way upstream, about a mile or two, way up. He stopped the waters there. All you see when you see the water stopping is the trickle of what's left from your past, what's left from your circumstance, what's left from that sickness, what's left. That scar is all you see, is a scar. How can I forget what is done for me? He's been faithful. How can you forget? Let me tell you, you can forget when you see the giants. The moment you see the moment your marriage is in shambles, the moment your money is funny, the moment you get a bad report, all of a sudden, man, you start forgetting. You got to go back and say, wait a minute. The doctor said I got this, but I remember back in 19... I forget who said it. I think it was Mark back in 19. Forget about none of your business. You don't forget what God did. When you forget what God did, you'll never be able to believe for what God's about to do. And you say, well, you ain't opened the Bible yet. Well, I've been opening the Bible since the moment I got up here. It's just inside here. If you want to read it, you go to Joshua chapter 1 and read while I'm preaching if you want. But it's there, believe me. It's there more powerfully than the way I'm bringing it. It's in there sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting and discerning between the spirit and the flesh, and removing everything that doesn't belong there and moving it out the way so that God can get way inside of you. Asunder, the Bible says. Listen to me. Let me just begin to land this home. If you will just rise up. Listen, you got to rise up. If you'll rise up. Now some of you will rise up, but you're just halfway. God is saying rise up all the way. And if you got to get on your tippy toes. If you're short in the spirit. Just get on your tippy toes. I told my grandson yesterday, he's playing a tournament. I told him, son, you were a beast today. You scored, outscored the whole, both teams. You did so good. But one thing you're doing, he goes, what? I go, you're bringing the ball. When you get an offensive rebound, you're bringing the ball down here. I said, let me tell you, I've been a shorty. I'm short. I mean, I look big to you, but I'm short. Compared to basketball players, I'm a shorty. I said, so I was taught by my uncles, who are very tall and very good ball players, I was taught when a big man brings the ball down, swipe it from him. You're good at that too. I seen you. Swipe it. See, what happens is, if you're short in the spirit a little bit, it's all right. You just got to tippy toe. Today, you got to get your faith back. You got to step in the promise. You know what's crazy? Is that when God showed him where they had to be at, that he put them on the opposite side of Jericho. Jericho was the most fortified city. It had two walls. We've learned about that this year. Two walls, one thick, one about 20 feet, and one about 14 feet. Two walls to penetrate. And God says, I'm not going to put you in no weak area. I'm going to put you across the hardest, the deepest, the biggest trial. And you're going to see the walls come tumbling down if you're obedient. What did he say at the beginning of the year? He said, I want you to march around six times. But on the seventh day, I want you to march seven times. And then we're going to blow the trumpets. And then when we blow those trumpets and you shout, the walls are going to come tumbling down. The walls are tumbling. The walls are tumbling. The walls are tumbling down. Let us praise the Lord. See, the walls are about to tumble down. Oh, I know some of you, the devil's hit you hard. He's hit you hard. So I see Sylvia right here, sitting right there. Boy, the devil tried to hit you. He hit your husband. There you are, day and night with them. And then the devil comes and let me get you too. And everybody just prayed for you. And then you just pray, say, ah, devil, I've been here. I've been here before. And I'll pray my way through this too. I see you, giant. I may be a little shorty in the physical. But oh, you don't want to mess with me. See, everything the devil tried to do against you, God turning around, see? I see it right now. I got more than a glimpse. I'm looking all the way over the fence right there. See, some of you have been real sick. Some of you have been real powerless. Some of you have been real confused. Some of you have been real deceived. And the devil has been trying to do that to you. You know why? To get you to stop from rising up. If he can stop, see, he knows that if he can keep you down, the 10 spies were kept down. Aaron, I'm going to preach to you, man. I can't no help out here. I know you'll help me out. The devil kept the 10 spies down so they couldn't see over the wall. They couldn't see. They got to the promised land and all they saw was problems. Boy, right there. See? Give me a little bit of that. Come on. My God. Yeah. Somebody told Valma when she walked in this church about 15 years ago, they'll never let you play the piano over there? You're a little white lady. They ain't gonna let nobody play that piano. She just went up there and started playing the piano. And she says, ooh, we want you. See? Some of you think like that. You walk in the church, you see everybody preaching the front row. Say, oh, they'll never let me preach. I'll never be able to sing. I'll never get to do anything from here. So I don't know if I can. I want you to know something right now. If you rise up in 2018, baby, God wants to use your life, your talent, your gift. We're ready. We've been getting ready. That's why the life flow is so important. We just finished. We're getting ready to graduate the life flow. Well, you're going to see all the graduates of the life flow. When are we doing that? Have we figured out yet? We got the date yet? We'll be letting you know this week when we're graduating the life flow. And then the new life flow starts in January. In January, we're preparing everybody to get ready because we're walking in to our destiny. Man, somebody better shout. Let me land this now. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like it was last year or the year before. I'm ready for a new challenge. Are you ready for a new challenge? Then you get yourself ready. Strengthen your stakes. Lengthen your cords. And you rise up. You rise up. Rise up. Don't let Satan, that old deceiver, el diablo chambuco miserable, don't you dare let that devil. Some of you guys been listening to the devil too long. You're in the home and the devil's still trying to tell you, get out of here. You don't belong here. They don't even got a bathroom. Yeah. See, all the piojo mentalities, all the 10 spies, they come and think like that. You know what they're saying? Ah, we don't even got a bathroom. I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to miss out on the most brand new bathroom. Because the rest of you guys have been looking like this. Ooh. See, Brother Dave said, get up and look over the fence right now. We're about to put a brand new bathroom in the home. Look over. And we need some help. So please make sure that you guys don't forget the home. Amen. Some of you been in the home, right? How many been in the home in this? Let me see your hands. Have you been in the home? Okay. I'm going to remember that when they need some tile and some stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is what I want to do. If you have been in the way of the 10 spies mentality, if you'll be honest, see, what could have happened with the 10 spies is that when Joshua and Caleb, don't change that. Keep me back on that same. I like that groove you guys are in. Keep that up. Yeah, there you go. How can I forget? Because that's what we're coming to. See, there was a certain guy by the name of Paul T. in that 10. Paul T was of one of the tribes. You know, all Paul T would have had to do, all he would have had to do is to go to Joshua and Caleb and said, I don't know about you nine, but I'm standing with these guys. You guys are dead. These guys are alive. I don't want to be like that. I'm not going out like that. But he didn't. He stayed with the crowd. He stayed with what he was used to. They stayed religious. He stayed faithless. Instead of saying, you know what? Let me go. He could have stood right next to Joshua and Caleb, and he could have had a mountain too. Instead, he died in the desert. Don't you die in the desert. You might be in your desert right now. Don't you die there, because there's a promised land and it's just for you. Listen, I'm not going to labor this altar call. If you've been in that desert and your faith is like this instead of like this, it's okay. You're not the only one. I've been there. There was times when we didn't have a building and we were out there in the desert where I wanted to die in the desert. Times when we didn't have no money. Times when I said, we don't even have a place where we're going to have church at. We're about to lose this lease right here and we got to find a place and we don't even know where we're going to go. God, why'd you bring me out to the desert to die? And then God reminded me, says, have I ever not provided for you? Have I ever? How can you forget, Danny? How can you forget, Pastor? How can you forget with all the accolades that you've seen God do? How in the world can you forget? See, the problem with some of you is you ain't got nothing to remember yet. This is your first time. That's all right. The first time is the best time, because that's where everything else is based on. Once you get that first faith, that first love, that first brokenness, that first, all of a sudden you have a reference point. All of a sudden you have some place to look back to. Every time the devil comes and tries to shift your thinking, you look back and say, how can I forget what he's done for me? He's been faithful. Yes, he has. How? You look back and say, I remember when, and he did it then, he'll do it again. He did it then, he's going to do it now. This morning, somehow, some way, you got to get that kind of faith back. If you got to get some Joshua and Caleb kind of faith, that kind of shut up faith to the devil, that kind of shut up faith to everybody around you that's trying to discourage you, then I dare you, when we begin to sing this song, that you make your way to the altar and you get your...
Yeah. How can I forget
what he's done for me? Quickly, if you're not saved at this place, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know Jesus, you've never given your heart to Christ, you've never said, Father, come in and take over my heart, forgive me my sins, I want to be born again and forgiven, and I want to live a new life. If you've never done that before, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to plead with you this morning to give your life to Jesus, if it's the very first time. Secondly, if you're here this morning, they say, Pastor, I used to walk with God strong. And man, I had a bunch of 10 spies around me. And so I'm not going to blame it on them, because I didn't have to, but there was like some 10 spies around me. And somehow I just got caught up in all that. And I just can't be there no more. I want to rededicate my life to God. I want to live for God for the rest of my life. I'm ready to change. If that's you, I want to pray for you. If you say, I'm the one you're talking about, Pastor. I used to walk with God, and now I've been just kind of stagnant. But I'm ready to get back in the flow. I'm getting ready to walk back in the promise that God has for me. If that's you here today, I want you to get up here to this altar. If you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to get saved. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. Come on, I'm gonna cut to the chase right now, and I want to pray for you quickly. God bless you. I see two hands up. Anybody else? I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time. I want to rededicate my life. Just lift it and keep it high like that. Keep it high.